Magnanichimidandasya Gyananjana
Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai
Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
You heard from His Grace, Vaisheshika Prabhu, some of the inconceivable contributions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They can be summarized in three ways. First of all, as you heard, he wrote over 100 books. Secondly, he discovered the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thirdly, he brought the bhakti mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of the village guru phase into the modern age. So let's talk about that last contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prior to his time, Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, just 200 years after the presence of Lord Chaitanya, everything had dissipated. Not only dissipated, but everything had fallen into disrepute and great murkiness. This shows you the nature of the material world. We should have a practical understanding of how the material energy operates and what life in the material world is like. On the way here this morning, I was speaking about this with His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. The material energy deteriorates. There are sometimes great awakenings of genuine spiritual life, and then immediately afterwards, the clouds cover the sun. This is the way it is. And we shouldn't have a utopian understanding of this realm that we came to by our own mistaken choice. When you read Bhagavad Gita, what do you find? Krishna doesn't cover up. He gives it to you straight. Sakalenaha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. Krishna says, I spoke this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita before, but in the course of time, the meaning has become lost. The sun has become covered by clouds. So therefore Krishna told Arjuna, I'm speaking it again. Krishna did not mean that the verses of Bhagavad Gita became lost. He meant the actual precise understanding of Bhagavad Gita had become obscured. So he was speaking it again. And in this way, Krishna is indicating that this appearance of light in the material world, spiritual light, and then it's becoming covered over. This is the way it is. Upon the beginning of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission, Gaudiya Vaishnavism was in a state of immense disrepair. So he single-handedly resurrected the potency and credibility of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, showing that by the compassion and empowerment of Krishna's devotee, the process of deterioration and decline in the material world can be reversed. For example, now we are in that 10,000 year golden age of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So during this time, people will have immense opportunity to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. But after that 10,000 period, that 10,000 year period, there'll be no more Hare Krishna movement. Because that's the nature of material existence. And that's the nature of the appearance of genuine spiritual knowledge and genuine spiritual dynamics within that material world. In other words, the material world is not a place where you should invest in. It's a place that is meant to be utilized as a springboard to achieve something else. Let's consider for a few moments the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was no bed of roses from the material point of view. He was born in a wealthy family, but that family, upon the death of key relatives, that family fell even into poverty. And when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Calcutta to study, so many of you have come from abroad to study and to work. Suppose while you're here studying, while you're here working, believing that everything with your families abroad is okay, and then you go back to your homeland, your hometown, and you find upon arrival that the whole area is decimated by cholera and your whole family clan's wiped out, except for two persons. That's what happened to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. While he was studying in Calcutta, cholera decimated his family home area where his relatives lived, and when he just went back to visit for a routine visit, and his whole extended family was wiped out except for two persons. His first wife died during childbirth. So he shows us an extraordinary determination. And you can see that even in the life of such a great empowered devotee with the Gaura Shakti, still, the material world is no rose garden. Although, we long for it to be that, right? We're hoping, in our neophyte mentality, we're hoping that by our performing bhakti, Krishna will make the material world nice. Right? Seems an appropriate trade, yes? As Srila Prabhupada explains in the seventh canto in relation to Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narsingadev, when Lord Narsingadev offered Prahlad benedictions, Srila Prabhupada commented that the exchange of devotional service for the fulfillment of lusty desires is quite common. So we can take that to heart. What would we have done facing the obstacles that Bhaktivinoda Thakur faced? We might have just accused Krishna. Why have you let this happen to me? What is this? I've taken up the bhakti process and now look. Just like Srila Prabhupada describes about his years in India before coming to the USA. He said, never was there a time when he didn't meditate on the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasi Thakur, the son of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Never was there a time when he did not meditate on the order to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western world. But he said he had a plan to make a lot of money and in that way be very effective in propagating the message of Lord Chaitanya. Because he said, he was thinking, who listens to a poor Indian? And you might say, you would probably agree, yes, yes. In the 70s, before the big wave of immigration from India into the USA started, people always thought India is a poor country. Who cares for it? Parents would tell their children, finish all of the food on your plate. Remember the poor children in India. Probably now they're saying, finish all the food on your plate because you don't know what your future is. Some IT person from India may take all the jobs. That's what my mother and aunt were telling me a few weeks ago when I made my annual family visit.
Oh,
you're associating with lots of those Indian people. Well, they're smart. So people respect money and influence, especially in the USA. If you've got money, it transcends all ethnic bias, all religious barriers. That's in line with what Shukadeva Goswami says in 12th canto of Bhagavatam, that in the age of Kali, it is wealth that establishes your credibility and your good qualities. So you could see that Prabhupada had a good strategy in mind. Let me become wealthy by doing business, and then I'll be able to attract people's serious consideration to the message of Lord Chaitanya. So that was his plan. And indeed, he said, some astrologers in India told him, looking at his chart, that you're meant to be one of the richest men ever in India. So that was his plan. But he explained that Krishna had another plan. Prabhupada wanted to do it as a rich man. Krishna said, no, you do it as a poor man. So he said, Krishna and he had an argument. Very intimate. And Krishna won the argument. And you know the history of trials and severe obstacles that Srila Prabhupada went through to establish Siskan society. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had trials and tribulations. One other point I'd like to bring up is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took very seriously the use of governmental power to corral and contain nefarious elements. Now we have to be careful about this because there's such a fear these days of religious fundamentalism, the Taliban. When we hear talk about decapitating the infidels, the non-believers, especially here in California, we don't like this. Yet we read statements in Srimad Bhagavatam about how indeed it's one of the mission purposes of Krishna to rid the world of malicious, negative, predatory personalities. recently in Los Angeles, New Dorka Temple. We were going over one purport, where Srila Prabhupada explained that it's one of the purposes of the Krishna Conscious Society to end the existence of those who claim that they are God. Now, naturally, our immediate gut reaction is, well, if someone thinks they're God and goes around saying they're God, that's their problem. Yeah. It takes a while for us to develop a sense of outrage, just like if you hear about some terrorist bombing, if you hear about some mass murderer, you have a sense of outrage. But when you hear about, well, someone says he's God, it's California, you know. Believe as you like. Just don't bother me. But as we become more developed in our bhakti by following parampara, we start to understand the outrage that this indeed is a crime. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take such miscreants in that way, who declared their God, and he would bring governmental power to bear upon them. So you know the famous example of the mystic yogi who called himself Mahavishnu, and his two associates, he said, were Brahma and Shiva. And he so thought of himself as Bhagavan, the Supreme, that he was even enticing the wives of respectable gentlemen to come dance with him in Ras Lila. Again, nothing uncommon these days. So, the British had one motivation in mind. They had political fears of this mystic yogi. They considered him to be a revolutionary. So they sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur to deal with him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, however, had something else foremost in his mind. This rascal dares to say he's Mahavishnu. So he went from from Jagannath Puri, because at that time he was a magistrate. Very high position for an Indian to have in the British regime. He went to where the mystic yogi was, and the mystic yogi told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know who I am, I know who you are. What do you want? Name the benediction you want. You'd like to be the king of Orissa. Whatever you want. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very tactful. He said, oh, you have so much mystic power. You're such a great mystic yogi. Come with me to Jagannath Puri and get the blessings of Lord Jagannath. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was luring him into government custody. But the mystic yogi was so utterly distorted and depraved that he replied to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, get the blessings of Jagannath? Jagannath's just a block of wood. At that point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took action and had the mystic yogi arrested. Even in spite of great danger to his family, his family members became ill, deathly ill, while the mystic yogi was in prison. I like the way Prabhupada tells that part of the story, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter was dying from fever, and his wife, you can understand, women with children naturally had that nurturing, protective role. His wife was begging him, let him out of jail, let him out of jail. Our daughter is dying, can't you see that? And what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's reply? Let us all die, but he stays in jail.
very powerful householder.
So thinking about Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur today, I was meditating on how he took very seriously that this nonsense mystic yogi dares to say he is God. I will bring about the full power of the government upon him. This is a criminal offense. The British are thinking one way, oh, he's a political revolutionary. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur was thinking, how dare someone perform this criminal act? Also, similarly, following in that line, Srila Prabhupada in his books, he speaks out very strongly that government should take action against such persons. But because we're so dull by the influence of Kali Yuga, you know, well, he thinks he's God, or someone says he's God, it's a big deal. Happens all the time. What's more severe is if someone cheats me in business or sells me a faulty used car. Now that is an offense. Someone says they're God. This is how dull we are. But when we look at the situation through the parampara, we can understand, thanks to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his descendants, that this is an extraordinary offense to say that one, proclaim oneself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, let us meditate on the three main contributions of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, writing such literatures that revived the mission of Lord Chaitanya, taking the mission of Lord Chaitanya from the village guru phase into the organized phase that we have today. We can see that. One last point. You can read in Prabhupada's books how it's necessary to have the association of a great devotee of the Lord. Now, how does that association come? We're no longer living in villages where everyone has access to a great soul who lives in the same village. Bhakti Vinod Thakur recognized that the future would be one of giving association through the printed word. And Srila Prabhupada took that up and told us, if you want to know him, read his books. His books are a better way of knowing him than any other method. And now, of course, we're going from the printed age into the digital age. And here at ISKCON Silicon Valley, you're so powerfully taking advantage of giving association through high technology. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur launched that whole effort to take Vaishnav presence and Vaishnav Sangha out of just the village guru context, and he brought it into the organized mass distribution phase by his writing so many books and making plans, as His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu explained, for the organized propagation, the marketplace of the holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.